This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, January 6th, 2025. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the app, or by podcast, or on social media. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Are you ready for the playoffs? Because the Packers aren't. I mean, they're still getting in the playoffs, but ready? No. In fact, before we do all the temperatures, and then I conclude with Radio Park and Racine, and then we introduce the guy that's down in Racine, framed around the Packer loss, I instead would like to introduce the smartest man in Wisconsin, Greg Bach, the guy who did not watch the Packers become humiliated and embarrassed by the Chicago Bears yesterday. Congratulations, Mr. Bach. That was genius.
Thank you. Just genius on your part. Thank you.
And that was, in fact, your original plan, was to watch something other than the shellacking that we thought the Bears were going to get from the Packers. Oops.
Instead, they went down 2 points under like they did with the Vikings the week before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I have a Sunday off, we managed to do movies all day long. I don't get a lot of days full 100% days off, so on Sunday I try to be as lazy as possible. And we watched a bunch of movies, and I just sort of, you know, checked in with the score throughout the game. And I'm like, oh, they're losing. Like, there was second quarter. I'm like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. And then I look again. I'm like, oh, they're still not winning. And then I'm like, oh, they lost. Mm-hmm. Is Chicago, like, the thing is, I'm more worried about Chicago winning against the Packers. Are they okay?
Yeah. And they looked all right, but yeah, they weren't that great. I mean, the Packers had many more yards gained, and you know, they were atop the game statistics in many ways.
Yeah,
but not the scoreboard, especially that first touchdown, which was done on a trick play. And I mean, a few things are more frustrating to a casual football fan than watching a team of millionaire professionals fall for the old trick of the punt is going to one guy and the whole team fakes you out. And meanwhile, the ball is caught by the other guy on the other side of the field who runs all the way for a touchdown. I mean, yeah, in your backyard, maybe that works. But to work at Lambeau Field against the Packers, I mean, that set the tone for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
It was just that bad. And so our prize, if you will, for yesterday's ineptitude is that we now go to Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs to take on the number 2 seed, the Philadelphia Eagles, Sunday afternoon at 3:25 here on some Civic Media stations and on ABC ESPN. And I mean, I don't want to be negative Nelly here, but I don't know that we're going to be. I think this conversation a week from today is going to sound kind of similar to today's at this point. So I hope they surprise me, but whew, that's a rough morning for Packer Nation.
What would have happened had the Packers won against the Bears yesterday? How would that change the outcome of the playoffs next week?
There were several moving pieces, and interestingly enough, at the exact same time that the Packers were losing on a winning field goal by the Bears as time expired, the Washington Commanders pulled off a last-moment victory against the Dallas Cowboys. And so it actually didn't matter, because with the Commanders winning, the Packers still fell to the 7th seed. But literally seconds earlier, if the two games had gone the other way, the Packers would be the sixth seed and probably on their way to face the LA Rams.
Yeah. It's pronounced La Rams, Pat. Thank you.
La Rams. Sorry. Sorry. Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. So yeah, Tony writes on YouTube, they'd be playing in LA. He writes, I was 100% sure the Packers were going to win by one in the fourth. Why they took a timeout with so much time left for the Bears to get a chance is beyond me. Yes, horrible clock management. Dare I say, Bears-worthy clock management there by Matt LaFleur. And he recognized it. He understood what he screwed up there. Alicia's getting ahead of herself over here saying, I'll be honest, I'm looking forward to the end of the football. 41 will be nice on Sundays again. Well, it'll be okay, but not nice. Sorry.
Oh, you mean the weather that will totally reverse me buying a snowblower this past weekend?
Is that why the snowstorm went to the south of us? You bought the snowblower and warded off the evil spirits of this particular blizzard.
Pat,
last
time we had a snowstorm a couple weeks ago, my wife said, did we buy a snowblower this past year? I'm like, no, we didn't, because it was so mild and we got by. And then I was like, and this is not, I'm not making fun of her or calling her like a, you know, wag a finger type of thing, but I felt like that comment was like, we need to get a snowblower. And she was right. Mm-hmm. We need to have one for the years down the road, not just for this year. But when you buy one and the snowstorm is nowhere near what you expected it to be, it's not snowing in Kenosha right now. It stopped snowing. It was supposed to snow until like this morning or this afternoon. And I'm looking at my credit card bill like, oh my God, why?
Well, I mean, come on. You know it's going to at some point, just not this particular time. It's not like it wasn't a one and done situation where you go, oh, I missed my one chance to use a snowblower in Wisconsin.
But I did buy a battery powered one. I bought one with non-gas. Pretty proud of that.
Did you really?
Yeah. Okay. So what's up, everybody? I love the earth.
I'm looking at the map here, and it basically is Central Illinois, Missouri, Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia. I guess Washington, D.C. is going to get pummeled on this first day of the new Congress. Mwahaha.
Maybe there is a mean God up there. I don't know. It's like,
yeah, who knows? Just not here, which is fine. Again, we'll get our chance soon enough.
Yeah.
Speaking of Washington, D.C., coming up on the program today, we will talk about the anniversary of the January 6th insurrection 4 years ago today. And through one of those cosmic coincidences, it's another anniversary today, ours, at Up North News. Up North News actually started, thank you. Thank you very much. 5 years ago today, on a Monday, January 6th, 2020. So we'll talk a bit about the two anniversaries, along with current events, Republicans meeting from the House of Representatives over the weekend, and how they think they're going to get Trump's agenda through Congress. And by the way, we'll talk more about that tomorrow morning with Congressman Mark Pocan, who will join us at 7:30 tomorrow morning to talk about the new Congress getting underway. The new legislature gets underway in Madison today as well, and so we will talk a bit about that. And overall, with the legislature still Republican-controlled, the House, the Senate, and soon the White House all under Republican control, we're going to have a discussion at 7:30 today with John Shelton, a professor of at UW-Green Bay, and we're going to talk a bit about the reasons that he believes that so many voters either chose Republicans or stayed home, as the case may be. And so he's going to talk a bit about his article in The Nation magazine about how Democrats need a big change to their year-round messaging if they want to win back blue-collar voters. Also in our second hour, more details with Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemaro about a new plan released by Governor Tony Evers this morning. He has seen enough of Republicans monkeying around with the state constitution. You know, we've had, it seems like, an endless series of referendums to put Republican policy into the constitution because they know that Governor Evers would veto it if it passed as a bill. And so why should Republican legislators be the only one with access to the Constitution through initiative and referendum? So he has unveiled a proposal that would allow you, the voters of Wisconsin, to directly propose and vote on constitutional amendments, because maybe then we would amend the state constitution with things that are more in line with the preferences of state residents. You know, the things that continue to be ignored by Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature. So we will hear more about that from Elizabeth Montemurro in our second hour as well. So a lot to tell you about on this Monday morning, including, again, as the Trump transition continues here, wanted to play a little audio from Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, who was commenting on all that is going to be happening as she starts a third term in office. And I just don't want people to forget, with all of the rush of everything else that's going on in Washington, and things kind of come and go in the news. And let's remember that there are still some people floating out there who were at the center of controversies, but they didn't go away. They're still there. They were just hoping the controversies would blow over. Pete Hegseth is still out there as the potential Secretary of Defense. And Robert Kennedy Jr. is still sitting out there as the potential Secretary of Health and Human Services. And when asked about that, Senator Baldwin remarked on Robert Kennedy Jr. that with her new position on the Senate Health Committee, he's not done getting scrutiny just yet.
We also have probably coming before the health panel, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has made some very controversial stances in the past. And again, I think of Wisconsin. We, RFK, if confirmed, would oversee a department that has a key lead role in biomedical research. That's really key that we find treatments and cures. And we have a lot of research going on at our universities in the state of Wisconsin. But I also want to make sure that in terms of public health, that our kids don't get the mumps and the measles or polio. And so I'm going to be questioning him very carefully about his positions on vaccines.
And rightly so, which is not to say that Democrats alone can necessarily stop his confirmation. But if enough Republicans hear from folks about their concerns about having a Health and Human Services Secretary who is, you know, against the vaccines that have saved countless lives, that could still make a difference. Mike Johnson, by the way, did win on the first ballot to be Speaker of the House, despite all of the hints that there would be renegade Republicans that wouldn't support him. He did get the votes of all six Wisconsin Republicans and really could only afford to lose one vote, and he only lost one vote. And so he narrowly wins as Speaker. And coming up yet this morning, we'll talk more about his strategy to pass a single bill that's designed to bypass the Senate filibuster that would contain everything that Donald Trump wants. One of many topics that we will cover on this Monday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this January 6th. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It was on this day in 1968 that the Beatles scored their 11th number one album with Magical Mystery Tour. It would be the number one album for 8 weeks back then, 57 years ago, including the Magical Mystery Tour title track. And of course, Here I Am the Walrus, Fool on the Hill, Penny Lane, and so much more. We'll have today's history lesson coming up in just under a half hour here on Up North News Radio. Those bus stop temperatures, 8 degrees here in Chippewa Falls, 2 degrees in Hayward. It's 1 below in Amory. Wausau is at 11 degrees right now, La Crosse 10. Wisconsin Rapids is at 10 degrees. Green Bay 24, Madison 18, Waukesha 19. And at Radio Park in Racine, where Greg is, it is 24 degrees right now. You can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. Today's a special edition of the newsletter. Just two little items, both of them from me. One of them looking ahead to the legislative session and whether Republicans with a smaller majority might do something with a $4 billion surplus that's more useful to more Wisconsin residents. But we kick things off by talking about the anniversary of the insurrection and also our own fifth anniversary here at Up North News. Coincidentally, it was 5 years ago. January 6th was a Monday as well, back in 2020. And it was our first day that we'd actually gone live in the closing couple of months of 2019. We were planning a website and a newsletter and maybe some social media posts. And it has grown so much more from there, to the videos that we do, to a presence on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and everything else. We have a national team that's contributing, freelance writers, photographers over the years who have contributed to what we put out as well. It was all started 5 years ago with a very simple mission, and that was to increase civic engagement. We had seen far too often that in Wisconsin and in other states, more and more newspapers were shutting down. Fewer local papers and fewer local TV stations were covering their state legislatures. They were following, you know, the big shiny national headlines, but weren't letting enough folks know that what happens in Madison truly matters more than most people think when it comes to support for our public schools and whether we have clean air and water and the conditions that our roads are in. And of course, the social issues that could come up in our state capitals as well. And so that was part of our early mission, along with a heavy dose of stories about what makes Wisconsin such a great place to live. Because we can't underscore enough the whole reason that we do so much to fight for Wisconsin through a political lens is because we love living here so much for a host of other reasons. Some of them rooted in our cities, some of them rooted in our rural areas. And to help all sides of the state appreciate one another, that more people in Milwaukee appreciate what happens up north and that more folks up north appreciate what happens in Madison, Milwaukee, and elsewhere. Well, along comes our first anniversary, and we've gotten through an election, and Joe Biden has been elected, but the outgoing president, Donald Trump, is casting doubts on that by lying about non-existent voter fraud. And it culminated 4 years ago today, on our first anniversary, on January 6th of 2021. And it is still numbing enough to think about what happened that day, to be watching it on my TV here, and at some point saying, okay, we've got to get to work now telling our audience about this. This is truly serious. And we're watching invaders. We're watching a mob in the halls of Congress of the United States of America. And Congress has had to leave, go underground and evacuate, because we're watching police officers getting beaten. We're watching police officers getting tear gassed. We're watching them getting pummeled with American flag poles. We're watching Trump campaign flags go up across the United States Capitol. And in the aftermath of that, most folks rightly understood and condemned Donald Trump for his role in instigating this mob and calling them to D.C. and then telling them to go to the Capitol and to, quote, fight like hell. Now, even back then, there were signs that there were people that still did not appreciate the damage that had been wrought. Even in the aftermath of the insurrection, two congressmen from Wisconsin, Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald, voted to actually object to the certified vote totals of two of the states as the roll was called and the electoral votes were read. Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald voted, if they had had their way, to nullify the will of the voters in those two states. And Tom Tiffany, prior to that, had signed on as a supporter of a lawsuit by folks in Texas that also would have negated the will of his own voters in the state of Wisconsin. And in the weeks leading up to January 6th, Ron Johnson held a series of hearings, essentially turning his congressional committee into a three-ring circus of conspiracy theories, all of which led to that violent mob that God only knows could have done what had they had just a little bit more leeway, had they had just a few more people, had there been just a few more folks willing to engage in the violence that others were egging them on to do. And so for that, you know, Ron Johnson, Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald, all should have had the honor to resign or to be booted from Congress. That hasn't happened. The voters returned Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald and now Donald Trump. They're all there. They're all coming back. And on our fifth anniversary, it only rededicates us to our mission to continue to expose what is as anti-American as this sentiment gets, to be opposed to democracy, to want to undermine the will of the voters, and to allow an authoritarian who this week will be re-adjudicated as a convicted felon to become president. There's no time to walk away. This is a time to continue to watch and to expose and to talk to voters and help them understand who's really working for them and who says they are, but their actions belie something entirely different. We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Monday morning, January 6th, and we're playing a little Aha because of their ties to Norway, and music on Norway radio is also part of today's history lesson. That's about as cryptic as clue as you're ever going to get here, but that's coming up in just a few minutes. We normally hear from Dr. Kristen Lyerly Monday mornings at this point. She's off this week, finally taking some very well-deserved time off from her long congressional campaign and was continuing to work well past the election. In fact, I saw a post over the weekend from her meeting with a lot of the candidates in Northeast Wisconsin who ran for legislature this past year, and how they're staying in the fight in one way, shape, or form. Some will probably run for office again in 2026. Others will be involved to one degree or another, which is happening in part because of Dr. Lyerly's leadership. Trust me, I have seen far too often where good candidates came up just a little bit short, and then they walked away. And in part, it was because they're just, you know, people were burned out, and, you know, nobody kind of reached out to them. And sometimes all you need is just that callback to say, hey, let's talk about what just happened, and let's keep you motivated to carry on. And Kristen's been playing a role in that, and I'm very proud of her for that and hope she enjoys whatever it is that she's doing here. I mean, the woman worked right up until last week on the radio, but thus was born, what'd you guys call it? Bach in the Dock, I believe. Yes, Bach in the Dock.
Bach and the Dock.
Did you guys have like any jingles made or anything?
I mean, no, really, we didn't sure have time. Become a I want t-shirts, okay, though. Like, I want like a 70s t-shirt that says like Bach in the Dock and like puffy graphics, and then like a little puffy rainbow underneath there. Like, morning, Bach in the Dock. Mornings on Up North News Radio.
I could get used to that. I could look into that. It's one of my New Year's resolutions. It's like, we got to get coffee mugs back and some other things. So
the merch needs to make a comeback.
No kidding. I mean, we're so busy with the campaign and everything and all the elections. So let's put that on our to-do list. Merch.
Absolutely.
Including a little Bach in the Dock merchandise as well. Alicia Saunders was one of those who took part in a gathering with Kristen over the weekend, and she writes on YouTube, "It was great. We had fun, and we are starting some plans." So there you go. The scheming has begun for 2026. And that's... how did you know to have that stored?
Oh,
of all the many sound effects you could have.
Dearest Patrick, I have a panoply of sound effects at my ready whenever you need something.
A panoply.
Did I use that word correctly? It just came out of me.
I have no idea. I don't know.
A menagerie.
Yes, that's it. A cacophony of... okay, that's enough of the source stuff here. In this place tomorrow, we will be talking more with Up North News social media manager Sharita Booker. To kick off the new year, we thought we'd give a little extra time to talk about all of our social media platforms, because unless you're a real social media junkie, chances are you don't know all the different places where you can find Up North News or Civic Media for that matter. And maybe there's a platform that's just right for you, one that you aren't using right now besides the radio or Facebook or YouTube or Blue Sky or Instagram, whatever the case may be. So Sharita is going to help us review all of that tomorrow morning at 6:30. And then again, tomorrow morning at 7:30, we'll talk to Congressman Mark Pocan, who will be here as well. Forgot to give my usual invitation to join us on the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 is how to join us by phone or by text. And we get a lot of text messages here that come in. And as we see them on screen, we may put them on screen here on social media for you to see as well. You can either text us at 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us or call us through the Civic Media app. And of course, as you hear frequently from Alicia and Tony and Rob, you can put comments on our Facebook or YouTube sites, and we may mention it here as well. We have an email address too, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's cover some of the other headlines then. We'll talk more in our next hour with Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurrow, who was at a press briefing from Governor Tony Evers, where he is proposing that Wisconsin have a version of what some states call initiative and referendum. Just about half the states have something where a constitutional amendment doesn't just have to come from the legislature. It could come if enough state residents were to sign a petition and put something on the ballot, same as with a candidate or recalling an elected official. And part of the reason that's being done, as you can imagine, is that right now, with only Republicans controlling the legislature, only Republicans in the legislature have access to changing the Constitution. And they have put forward a never-ending stream of referendums that are in keeping with their values. And sometimes they get through and sometimes they're shot down. But they've done nothing to pass things that are supported by an overwhelming majority of Wisconsin residents. Things such as reproductive health rights, gun safety, marijuana legalization, support for public schools, all of these things that have vast bipartisan support. And yet this legislature has done nothing than go along with whatever the extreme right of Republicans wants done. And it's kept Governor Evers very busy with his veto pen, but now he'd like to get busy adding more ability for Wisconsin citizens to amend the Constitution. And so we'll talk more to Elizabeth Montemurrow about that in our second hour coming up here. What else did I notice here? There was an article by the group Common Dreams talking about how, with the Republicans holding the House, the Senate, and soon the White House, they are going to push for a pair of voting-related bills that could, in fact, threaten voting rights. And they named Congressman Brian Stile of Southeast Wisconsin as one of those who may be a leading figure in this push to roll back voting rights. He chairs the House Committee on Administration, and he shared the Republicans' plans for what's called the ACE Act, the American Confidence in Elections Act, and the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, SAVE. So the ACE Act and the SAVE Act. And again, they have these very highfalutin, lofty names, you know, Safeguard Voter Eligibility and American Confidence in Elections, when what they would do is undermine both. They'd undermine the safeguards in American elections and American confidence by rolling back Americans' ability to vote and to vote conveniently. Brian Stile said in comments to the Associated Press, "As we look to the new year with unified Republican government, we have a real opportunity to move these pieces of legislation not only out of committee, but across the House floor and into law. We need to improve Americans' confidence in elections." Now, again, this may face, may get out of the House, but it would almost certainly need 60 votes in the Senate. So it's not that the proposal would go very far. But keep this in mind as I move on to the next bit of what House Republicans want to do. So from Brian Stile and others, you have bills that would attack voting rights. Meanwhile, Republicans over the weekend also held a retreat where they talked about how to pass, oh, they love this Trump terminology, a big, beautiful budget bill, as they repeatedly referenced it as. Speaker Mike Johnson laid out an ambitious timeline for a huge budget reconciliation bill. And reconciliation is just a fancy way of saying they would find a way to pass it that theoretically would not qualify to be stopped by a filibuster in the Senate. Johnson says the House could pass a single reconciliation bill as soon as April 3rd that would combine all of these things: border security, the expiring Trump tax cuts from 2017, an increase in the nation's borrowing limit, and spending cuts, all in one, again, big, beautiful bill. And then the Senate would clear the package for Trump's signature by the end of April, or Johnson says, certainly by May, he says, in what I would consider to be wishful thinking. Now, there are still Senate Republicans and others in the House who have been urging a two-bill approach, not to put all the eggs in one basket, but to first pass border security, defense spending, energy deregulation, and spending cuts first, and then turn to a tax cut package. Their fear is that if they all put it all into one bill and it sinks or gets bogged down, then none of the things will happen quickly, and they want some things to be able to happen right away. But again, let me reference back to Brian Stile talking about, you know, voting rights restrictions and energy deregulation and defense spending and border security and spending cuts, as well as the tax cuts for the very wealthy. Where in any of that do you see them working on the price of eggs or anything else related to inflation? That's all we heard about, didn't we? Was that the Biden administration had not done enough to reduce prices at the grocery store. Well, what the heck is all of this? As Alicia points out on YouTube, I thought they wanted smaller bills. Yes, they all the time railed against everything from the American Rescue Plan to the Inflation Reduction Act to the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law to the CHIPS and Science Act as too big, that these bold, audacious things that are creating jobs in this country and are handing Trump the best economy in the world right now, they had said were too big. And what they're trying to do is even bigger. They're trying to roll an entire 2 years Congress of to-do lists into one single bill, because there is such confidence now with Republicans controlling the House and the Senate and soon the White House, that they can get this done. I don't think they can get this done. And that's not me just trying to be, you know, negative. It's having watched these things come through Congress and understanding the desire to pass a lot through right away before any kind of gridlock can set in. But there are now enough people in any given caucus that can put the brakes on something. And if somebody in, all it takes is now two, it takes two people in the House Republican Congress, Republican caucus, I should say, to say, no, these tax cuts aren't big enough, or, you know, this mass deportation plan in the border security part of the bill, you know, isn't big enough or whatever. And suddenly it's all bogged down. And I have said repeatedly, not that Republicans in Congress are going to take my advice, but they should be going for whatever little victories they can get off the top. Again, just in border security, you had a bipartisan agreement for border security ready to go, and Trump scuttled it. Well, the minute Trump takes office, he could say, all right, now let's tweak the bill this little bit so we don't lose the bipartisan nature of it, and let's get this done. And Trump would be able to show the country that he could actually get something done. He could be the deal maker that he keeps saying that he is. But that's not really in his nature, because he's never been a deal maker. He could have passed an infrastructure bill in his first term. He did not. He could have passed some kind of health care bill in his first term, and he did not. He thrives on gridlock. He thrives on conflict, and then tries to appear above it all, if only they would listen to him and give him all the power to make decisions. But that's not what we do in this country. We don't allow one single person to make all the decisions. And if we did, if Joe Biden or Kamala Harris got to make all the decisions, you can imagine how well that would go over. And so try as they might for that one big, beautiful bill, I am expecting a big, beautiful mess. Today's history lesson is coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
If y'all can see Greg right now, he's got his headband on, his hair, his flowing locks, as he jams out to a little AC/DC at 6:52 on a Monday morning. Now listen to him do his best impression of AC/DC.
I'm back in black. I can hit the sack. I'm just very tired.
That was
right
a terrible now. Impression.
It's
terrible.
6:52, man. What do you want?
Terrible. I know. I'm sorry. Up North News political correspondent Elizabeth Montemurro is with us as well for today's history lesson. Elizabeth, how are you?
Doing well.
All right. Don't worry. We will not ask you to do any
Elizabeth
kind of impressions
has way
like
better
that.
Hair for headbanging than I do. Okay. So if anyone should be getting down with The Rock, it should be Elizabeth and not the man with who
I
can't dip his head down.
Or no. Elizabeth is what you would call a classy person and has never swung her hair around to any kind of rock music like that, Elizabeth, right?
Notice
how she refuses to answer that question. Again, she's a very smart woman. We play this because of the anniversary of the birth of the late Malcolm Young, guitarist for AC/DC. Never one of the group's showmen, but he wrote or co-wrote every one of their hits, coming up with classic guitar riffs like that one that started Back in Black. This is the anniversary of the birth of the late Van McCoy, who had one of the biggest hits of 1975.
Oh, Pat, guess what happened? Technology failed me again.
Oh, you're kidding me.
But give me.
Oh, man.
But, oh, guess what?
Oh, what?
We're just going to sit back and...
there we go.
Oh!
You got it.
Yeah, but it didn't play... there it is. Do the hustle.
Hustle. I mean, the hustle will come in behind us, as we say that Van McCoy was born this day in 1944, passed away in 1979. Again, I always love bouncing this off the kids. Hey, Elizabeth, the hustle here from Van McCoy, anywhere in your repertoire, or is this the first time you've ever heard this disco classic? Just gotta think about
Elizabeth,
this
have you been to a wedding?
I no?
Wow.
I feel so old right now.
I know. Okay. We got to stop bringing.
Not at a wedding.
Okay. Van McCoy, more than just this song, he also was a record producer for Gladys Knight, for Aretha Franklin, even for Leslie Gore. If Kristen Lyerly were here, we'd be playing one of the songs that he produced for Leslie Gore. But no. Let's see. Another birthday today. Kathy Sledge of Sister Sledge is 66, the youngest member and lead singer of that family group. Now, here at least I know some of the younger folks remember this from the end of the movie The Birdcage. Still one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful film.
And then the rest of us who are significantly older still think of the 1979 Pittsburgh Pirates because this was their song that particular year. We mentioned that the Beatles scored number one on the album charts this day in 1968 with Magical Mystery Tour, and it would hold the top spot for 8 weeks. And let's move on to 1973, where the number one song was by Carly Simon. You're a son of a gun. Don't you be name-calling there. Carly Simon's You're So Vain began a three-week run at the top of the singles charts on this week in 1973.
I love this song so much.
Isn't it so great? All right. On this day in 2017, Norway announced that it would gradually stop using FM radio and shift to all digital broadcasting, the first country to do so. And last month, Switzerland finished its nationwide conversion from FM to digital. Can you imagine the outcry if we told people here, everybody's got to get rid of their radios and get brand new radios that are just digital receivers? More FM?
There was a bill in Congress to save AM radio in cars. They were trying to get rid of AM radio. And people, anytime you take anything, it was like they lose their mind. It's my freedom. I'm like, all right, cool. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So Norway, Switzerland, switching to the cleaner, more efficient feed, in part because FM transmitters, they were getting old, needing to be replaced, and it would have been cheaper to go digital than to replace the digital or the FM transmitters. And finally, this day in 1990, Phil Collins' fourth solo studio album, But Seriously, topped the charts, including this single.
I am so nothing cute.
Here, we'll do it. Do you remember? There, does that help? There.
That was great.
Yeah, thanks. That's the best you get from me at this hour of the morning. Alex Turner, frontman and primary songwriter of Arctic Monkeys, turns 39 years old today. Tony writes on Ashland, from Ashland on YouTube. Radio and old light bulbs. Don't take my freedom.
Yeah, pretty much.
It is. I mean, look, LED bulbs are getting better all the time, but I'm not going to lie. That first generation of LED bulbs, I'm like, oh, can I have my old light bulbs back, please? But, technology is doing what it is. This is National Apple Tree Day. This is National Eat Your Beans Day. National Cuddle Day. I feel like that comes up like once a month or something. This is Three Kings Day. This is Epiphany. And so for many people, they mix that with this is Take Down the Christmas Tree Day. Elizabeth, is the tree, the decorations, whatever, are they still up at your place?
Still up.
See?
Still up. It's the last day of Christmas.
That's right.
You got to wait till the end.
Got to wait till the end of Epiphany. See? She's got the right attitude on this. Other people, Christmas night.
But that's my sister does it sometimes on Christmas night or Christmas morning. Done.
That's okay. That's their right. But for folks like Elizabeth and others, it lasts at least through this Epiphany Day. Elizabeth's going to be back with us after news, and we're going to talk more about the proposal by Governor Tony Evers for having constitutional referendums, constitutional amendments being proposed directly by voters, and what that could mean for the change of a Wisconsin constitution more in line with Wisconsin values. That's coming up after this. Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.